Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Here we go at the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday, JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman, Jaguars Texans, week 15 coming
Battle
up.
Battle Red Day.
Battle Red at NRG Stadium, 1 o'clock kickoff for the Jags and the first place Houston Texans. What's up, guys?
The Texans are up, ridiculous. Man. They played a good football game, played the way they can win, which is not allow Brock Osweiler to touch the ball too much, play good defense, and run the football. That's about how they've been winning it.
That's how they won it against the Jags here in week 10.
And they're not a great running team.
No, but they're committed.
They're good enough with that defense and to play close games.
They're committed.
They have to be.
I would say, are they not the most committed running team in the National Football League?
No. I mean,
Titans, Denver? Maybe?
You watch Dallas, Tennessee, Buffalo. But they're right in that category.
Yeah, but the reason I say that is it's very clear. At least Dallas has Dak Prescott that can make some plays with his arm, make some plays with his leg. It's almost as if their whole goal is to not allow Brock Osweiler to have a throw in the game at all if they can help it.
Would you?
Are they how much are they regretting the $34 million guaranteed that they gave Brock without ever meeting him?
Did you read Bill O'Brien's quotes this week or watch his I watched his press conference, and his quote was along the lines of with Brock Osweiler, because he was asked about him, and he said, you know he's doing everything we've asked him to do pretty well. And I'm going,
wow.
Well, let's see. Let me look at the list of, let's see, what have you asked him to do?
Not much lately.
You could probably put it on a 3x5 note card, okay, and have 2-inch font. That would be about the list of what they're asking Brock Osweiler to do. Not very good.
No, it has not been.
No.
It has not been.
The thing is, he has some talent outside, too. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, we know about that. I mean, Will Fuller is a guy who's a first-round draft pick out of Notre Dame. He can fly, good receiver. Braxton Miller, another young guy. I mean, they got guys who can play, but they don't have the trigger man.
No.
And the offensive line is not great. I mean, so there is some pressure issues up there that doesn't always give him a clean pocket. But even when he has a clean pocket, he just – looks lost at times.
It'll be interesting to see what the Texans do this week, because right guard Jeff Allen is on the injury report with a concussion. So if he doesn't play, because last week Odey Abushi, who had been a backup left guard, got the start last week against the Indianapolis Colts, and Xavier Suofilo ended up coming in late in the game. But I know earlier in the season, Jeff Allen had missed the start because of injury, and Abushi ended up playing at right guard.
What was the performance issues for Xavier?
Yeah, they just brought up Abushi.
Wow.
Abushi. So, now that they've got to kind of go back, but look, Xavier Suofilo, he's not a great player, but he's a big man. I mean,
he's serviceable.
Yeah, he's okay.
I mean, he's fine.
300, and they list him at 320.
No, he's not.
But at the same token, they list Vince Wilfork at 325.
And they have Chris Clark at 305, and if Chris Clark's 305, I'm 225.
Did you see big Vince Wilfork on the last play of the game?
He's not 320.
Did you see him chasing down Andrew Luck?
How was that?
It was comical. I literally, it was so funny, I wanted to put it on Film Room Friday just to show it. But I was like, I can't do that. I mean, I can't do that. That's just, I got to have a little respect for the guy. But watching Vince Wilfork run.
Wide man. Wide.
Jolly.
He doesn't really run, Jeff. He kind of
His belly was moving in the opposite direction almost the whole time that his legs were going. I mean, it was just
He can still two gap.
He can play. He can play the run now. And he can get some push now. He actually had what I thought might have been his best game against the Indianapolis Colts that I've seen him play, and since he's been a Texan, he's really good.
I thought the defense played outstanding watching the tape, and Andrew Luck was not very good. He was off.
Why did they only give the ball to Frank Gore 10 times? I mean, is that not the reason why that Pep Hamilton ended up losing his job as offensive coordinator? I mean, isn't that why? Because they got away
from the run.
Yeah, they weren't staying balanced. And who's their offensive coordinator now?
Chudzinski.
Yeah, Rob Chudzinski. He did the same thing that Pep Hamilton did against the Texans, and it was never in the ball game was it like, okay, the Colts need to start pressing because they're running out of time. It was never a game that the score was so great that you felt like that the Colts needed to start throwing it around.
And don't you think this Texans defense is better against the pass than the run?
The back end's good.
Yeah, and they have a good pass rush.
Well, they were missing the one corner.
Jonathan Joseph
mm-hmm. In that ball game. Ribs? Ribs, right?
Yeah,
is that it?
That's it.
And I wanted to see what
they
he was.
They went with a young guy, Robert Nelson, who they were trying to protect with some coverage issues. And nickel, they brought put Kareem Jackson from the outside to inside, and Nelson went out, stayed outside with A.J. Bouye.
Bouye's a good player now.
Good player.
I like him. Fourth-year guy. I'm sure that he's going to be up for free agency this year. And some team's going to want to pay him now. He's a good football player. He actually leads the Texans in pass defense. I want to say it's 12, somewhere in that range. I mean, he's got talent. He's aggressive. He's got energy. And when he's on the field, you can feel his presence. I just remember, Tony, you and I both leading up to the Texans game that was back in November, couldn't wait to get the inactive actives report because Bouye was a question going into that game.
He was on the edge and ended up being out.
Yeah, ended up being out, and we were like, yeah. I mean, that's perfect for the Jaguars.
Didn't help.
Nope. Didn't help.
24-21 final back in Week 10. That game started with a pick six opening drive.
Yeah, that was
and then
a tough
the
way
Jags
start.
Right after that went 13 plays down the field, tied it up with a touchdown, but mm-hmm. never led in the game. But that was his third career pick six against the Texans. 11 in his career total, 3 of them against Houston.
And wasn't there a big punt return in that game as well that set up? Or
yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, there was another short field. I remember there was two short field. One was the defense scored another really short field that allowed the Texans to get another 3.
Yeah, to JP, you got the book.
Yeah,
there.
I'll flip through it. Yep.
So I mean, I remember losing that game.
Let me have the book, JP.
And it was like they chipped away.
Let me have the book. You don't have to look at look at the stats.
That's great.
Go to punt returns.
I got you. Stand by.
Okay, it's not that hard. You're on the drive chart. That's not where you're going to find it.
Here. You know what?
Thank
fine.
You.
Go ahead.
But I remember leaving that game.
I know you invented stats. So
I did.
Go ahead.
It was kind of the beginning of the string of games where you said, if we just don't mess up offensively,
See how easy this was to find?
Congratulations.
Tyler Irvin, a 57-yarder. He's the rookie draft pick running back, had a 57-yarder.
That's right.
That was hard to find, JP.
Right. Literally those two plays, you sit back and go, if you change those, you win the ball game. Now, a lot of teams can say that. I mean, Jim Irsay came out this week, and they're a couple bounces away from being 10-3. Which
that's pretty big bounces.
A lot of bounces.
A lot of teams are, if that's the definition.
But that's what I remember. This game was kind of the beginning of that role where week in, week out, we have found ways to lose. Mm-hmm. Close games. And it's going to be more difficult in Houston. This is a team that plays better at home because of the defense with the crowd noise and everything else. They're playing for the playoffs.
Their crowd's going to be into it now.
They're going to be packed house.
It's
and
a loud
gonna,
place.
And they're going to come for blood.
Blood red.
Blood red.
Yeah.
Battle Blood Red Sunday,
yeah.
Whatever it's called.
This will be a new catchphrase for you, JP.
What?
Battle Bloody Red.
No. I'm not a Texans guy.
Kind of like Exotic Smash Mouth.
Oh, that one.
I'm just trying to give you another term that you did.
I mean, Exotic Smash Mouth is about to be in the hunt in the division at the end. How about
it
that?
Just flows
off
they
your
are.
Yeah, that's so what I'm saying.
Why'd you say about then?
What are you, a grammar guy now?
They're in the hunt, but
why
you know
have you
what?
Been on my case for two shows, by the way?
It's easy.
Hey, look, those two teams match up.
They
played last week of the year, New Year's Day. But, you know, here's the one thing. The Texans are 4-0 in the division, and the Titans are 1-3. You know, I mean, that's a big difference now. I mean, they've got the tiebreakers over it. So, you know, what happens if they end up being, let's say the Titans ended up winning one more game than the Texans. Even though with a bad division record, the Titans still go.
That's right.
Which is kind of crazy to think of that.
That's how it works. Got to win the other games too.
That was a big win by Tennessee last weekend, though.
They got another tough one this weekend in Kansas City. on the road.
Yeah, they get their schedule down the road is pretty tough, isn't it?
Well, no, they got that. Then
they got Denver and then Kansas City.
They already played Denver. They play Kansas City this week. Then they have us, and then they have the Texans.
Okay. Not bad.
Yeah.
That might be a flex game.
What, the Jaguars-Titans?
No.
Oh.
I don't think there's a chance of that being flexed anywhere.
Christmas Eve, 425, CBS. Nope.
Nope.
I don't think so.
But the Texans-Colts, or excuse me, Texans-Titans game, that could be a flex game.
Yeah, they usually flex the
division
game
could be on
that
the line.
Has the most playoff implications.
Yeah.
Division
last,
could be on the line.
Last week you're talking
about? Yes.
Yeah, January 1st.
And the other part of it, it could be decided by then. It might not matter week could 17. Be. That's the other part of this thing.
Well, if the Texans have
the Texans
one game,
win the next
it
two
matter.
Games, yeah, it doesn't matter. Because they'll have all the tiebreakers and everything.
No, if they win the next two and the Titans win the next two, it does matter.
Well, yes, but if they don't,
I think the Titans are going to beat the Chiefs.
Well, how about this? If the Jaguars beat the Texans this week and then beat the Titans next week, then that game still matters.
Hmm. And then beat the Colts after that.
That's right.
Three in a row.
Yeah.
Can this team win three in a row? Can it win one game?
Well, can they? Yeah. Is it likely to win three?
No. Let's say about one. Let's start this week. Let's
this week?
One at a time.
Week.
Baby steps.
Look, I look.
What are the Jaguars?
Hey, look, when you play Brock Osweiler, okay, and what was the guy? Paxton Lynch and Sam Bradford with a bad offensive line, you should have a chance. They do have a chance.
And the backup in Kansas City, they should have won that game.
Well, no, I'm just talking about the recent games where you've got – look, you've got backup quarterbacks. The teams aren't scoring a ton of points. They're not very dynamic offensively. You know, I think that the biggest challenge game you're going to have is Tennessee. I think that game is going to be tougher than than the Texans game. I believe that.
Yeah. They dismantled this group on Thursday Night Football. It was weeks ago, a long time ago. Still, they've done it once, and they're on a roll right now.
Well, I don't know how much that
I don't think that matters.
That Thursday night matter, that game doesn't matter that much. But it's just the way that Tennessee plays. Tennessee's got a very good running game, one of the best in the league.
Quarterback's playing better.
Quarterback has
although
been
last week he was no good.
Efficient. But. No, he wasn't good last week. That's Denver. But he's been very good for the most part for them. They play good defense. They play very good defense. That's a tough team now.
So, how much time do we have to break?
A couple minutes.
I want to go through. Let's do what we'll do when we get back and talk about what does this team, the Jaguars, need to do to beat the Texans? What are some of the keys going into this week? Because looking at the matchup on the road, because it's been eight straight. Is that correct?
Five straight.
No, eight straight losses.
This season, yes. Five in a row against Houston, yes.
And so, I mean, you're desperate for a win every week, but I guess the desperation's extremely high right now to break the eight-game losing streak.
That's a great note.
Well, I'm just
Tony,
saying.
Thank you.
So let's
I appreciate
talk,
that.
Talk,
that's real good.
Let's talk about what I this agree. Team needs to do specifically to find a way to get out of the
we can
off
do
the
it.
Schneid.
I think we can do that.
Okay.
I think. Thanks for bringing that up. I think we'll go there. We'll come back.
I can't wait to get to the point where we talk about the picks. I think I aced every pick last week, didn't I?
No.
Just give me a little preview.
We'll see in a few segments what happened with Logs and his picks last week.
Wasn't good.
I know fantasy I did very well.
This is not fantasy.
I got last place in fantasy with four guys.
That's not good. No. We'll find out Sunday on that one. Family in town for the holidays, bring them to Everbank Field for the Christmas Eve game against the Titans. Groups of 10 or more can book tickets up to 30% off. Call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com for more. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. Tony's somewhere. I don't know where he went.
Crickets.
Right.
He'll be in here at
some
point.
Lock the door. Keep him out of here.
How about that? Put him in charge of grabbing us something to drink.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's
he was flexed.
He's the waiter.
Got to wash the pizza right now.
Can we get some bread, Tony, with that? That would be great. Jaguars Thursday continues.
See, I told you he was hooking us up.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. He's got some coffee. That's my guy. Why would I ever talk bad about my guy? I would never do that.
He was killing you in the last segment.
Can we get some bread with that, Tony? Be great. Thanks.
Well, after you lied about me and Cersei on the Gus Bradley
show.
Oh,
wow.
That was hurtful.
Who says that's a lie? That can't be a lie. But it's like the good old days.
I think everybody knew that I was joking on that.
Well, I'm sure they were.
Tony Vaselli going out on town? No, I don't think so.
Hmm.
There was a few that went out, though, I heard, for the alumni weekend.
I would not be shocked by that.
I was not part of it, I can tell you that.
We had work the next day.
Yeah, we had to talk. It's kind of hard to talk if you go out until, 4 in the morning, some of those guys were out until? Something like that. Reliving the glory days.
So,
hear no evil, speak no evil.
Sunday, Jaguars at the Texans, 1 o'clock kickoff. Some keys to Jaguars' victory to snap the 5-game skid against the Texans. The Texans have won 10 of the last 12 in the series, and the Jags have lost 8 consecutive games. How do they finally break through against Houston?
There's 3 main issues, and then we can get into this specific matchups and stuff like that.
3. Number one,
you got to win the turnover margin. Turnover battle, excuse me.
That's always number one. You say that every week.
With this team more than every. Yes. There's small margin of error.
Minus 17, right?
So you gotta win the turnover margin.
That is correct, JP. Minus 17.
That's not good.
You have to win.
This is number 2.
The explosive play battle. So the Jaguars need more explosive plays than they do, and that includes special teams and offense. Listen, neither offense is great, and so scores are going to come from big chunk plays. I don't see maybe one or two, maybe one, maybe two long drives by either team. So you're going to need chunk yardage. I mean, when I say long drives, 10 play, it's just hard. It's hard against that Texan defense. You need to have more chunk yardage, offense and special teams.
All right, number 3.
And number 3, at the end of the day, the Jaguars need to have more rushing yards than the Texans.
That's not going to be easy.
Those 3 things happen, they win.
I don't think they need more rushing yards. I disagree with number 3 on your points, but the reason I say that, I don't think the Jaguars can run for more than the Texans. But if you can limit the Texans to, 100 yards rushing, you're going to win.
Well, didn't they dominate the run game? Didn't the Jaguars do a great job outside the 150-yard run that Lamar Miller had? I mean, didn't they have?
Well, they had.
Well, here's the stat.
I can tell you what they had right here. They had 181 yards on 33 rushes, but there was some explosive plays in the run.
There was 2 or 3 big ones,
right? And it wasn't Lamar Miller. It was a guy they just brought up,
Lamar Miller had a 40.
Akeem Hunt.
Well, Lamar Miller had a 45-yarder.
Right, but it was Akeem Hunt who really kick-started
him. Yeah, he had 17-yard run.
Hmm. Yeah, what did he have overall? How many carries, how many yards?
8 for 52.
Yeah. I mean, if I remember right, he was literally picked up that week.
Yeah.
I think from their practice squad. So he was elevated that week, brought up, and then bam, all of a sudden Lamar Miller needs a break, and here comes Akeem Hunt. I'm like, okay, got a guy off the practice squad, no big deal. And all of a sudden he looks like the most effective running back out on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, he was good.
So they can't give up 180 like they did last time, 181.
That's what they had against the Colts.
I think I think the rushing game is huge because – if you're the Jaguars, you can't get into a drop back passing game against this defense. I think their DBs are better than our receivers, and their rush is better than we're going to protect, for the most part.
Got to have an effective running game. You don't need to win the rushing contest, but you got to have an effective running game. Take the pressure off, so that Clowney and Merciless aren't teeing it off, and McKinney, who was involved in the blitz. Brian Cushing, I thought, did a very good job in some pressure packages the last time.
McKinney was a problem for us last time.
Yes. He's a good player now.
Very good player. And it'll be interesting to see what Nathaniel Hackett does. Because if you remember back to the game plan when they were here, it was all about protecting Blake. And so they chipped and had wings and helped the tackles and Max protected. And if it wasn't Max Protect, they had guys getting out late into the routes after chipping those ends and taking some steam off of Jadeveon Clowney and Whitney Merciless. And it'll be interesting to see if he does that again. And if that's the game plan, then you have to run the ball. Because that means you're only getting 2 or 3 guys out. And their back half's good. They have good concepts. They're helped by the rush, but they have good concepts. So I just think the run game is critical. Now, you look at they threw for a bunch of yards. I mean, Blake threw for 265 yards. And if you take that pick six away, it would have been considered a good day. So I'm not saying they can't do it. I just think it's harder when you're up there because it's going to be tougher to protect, snap count issues, communication issues. That's why I think when you're on the road at a loud place, Jeff, unless you have a Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, that type of guy, you got to running the ball takes the will out of not only the defense but out of the crowd. It is hard to cheer for a 10-minute drive.
We saw what happened last year in the last game of the season when the Jags
tried to forget that.
I brought it up. Seven sacks on this Jaguars offense.
That was not a good way to end the season.
No,
this year.
No, not at all. And that was in a road environment, loud place.
Luke Joyner had a rough day.
And Sam Young was the right tackle, and his was not much better.
No.
That's right. I forgot Young was playing right
there. Yeah, Jerry Parnell was hurt. Wow. So, and you got some issues. I mean, I haven't seen the practice, the injury report. I know we'll go over
that. Yeah.
Where Linder is with the ankle, I know.
Limited today.
Yeah.
And yesterday.
I was talking to Tyler Shatley on Tuesday night, and he didn't know at that point. But I know we're not looking back. But I thought Tyler played well.
Did a good job.
Against Linval Joseph.
Linval Joseph is a good football player.
I thought Shatley had a nice –
got strength and got length.
I thought Shatley had a nice game.
Yeah, he did a good job. He put it this way.
He wasn't the problem.
He was not the problem. It wasn't like he had a game like Leonard could have. He wasn't at that level. But you know what? When you put a backup in there, you want to get by. Mm-hmm. And I thought
and he did more than get
Shatley's
by.
Shatley's performance was above get by.
Yeah, absolutely.
How different is Wilfork this week than last week?
Much different. Wilfork is not going to move a lot. He is more powerful and stronger, more sturdy.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to move him much. It's going to be very difficult. He's going to play A-gap to A-gap, where Linval Joseph is a guy who can play A-gap to A-gap but has length, can move down the line of scrimmage, can penetrate better. So different types of one techniques or nose guards.
Hmm. He's a big man now.
Yeah, it's a large human.
I would love to know what he really – what do you think?
I bet he's 370.
I was gonna say between 375, 380.
Yeah.
I guess.
What were you at your biggest just a few months ago before you started the DSP SCSC?
350.
350. Okay. Wow. Not far
Wilfork
off.
Might be 390.
Well, he's not
well,
as tall
Vince
as I am. He's
shorter.
They say he's 6'2", but I'm not sure he's that tall.
But he's definitely 375.
He ain't 325. I promise you that.
He was a long time ago somewhere.
No, yeah.
Remember back in
12.
Back in high school, you know, you'd look at the program. They would list you at, you know, 1 or 2 inches taller than you were, 20 pounds heavier than you were.
They go the other way here.
It is so grossly the other way. It's embarrassing. Come on. They could probably weigh him. They could have him drive up within a truck, get on the scale, and have him step out.
And you look at this – the matchups. I think you look at some of the matchups. It's, you know, Beecham and Parnell against Clowney and Merciless, and Kelvin coming off, his toughest Sunday.
He will struggle against Clowney,
and his knee looked like it was bothering him.
Why? He doesn't just because of that? Can't move.
He can't. And going into the game, Tony and I both knew it. Everson Griffin is a power rusher. Kelvin Beecham right now, with that knee, whether it's tendonitis, soreness, swelling, whatever it is, he doesn't have the ability to set the anchor and stop the power.
Would you put Josh Wells in there if it becomes an issue?
Yeah.
I would too.
Yeah. I mean, and
for two reasons. One, to protect.
We're not criticizing Beecham.
If he's hurt, you can't do it. He can't do it.
Yeah, physically, look, if Kelvin Beecham is 100%, you've got no concerns. None.
I agree. Because I don't know about you, Jeff, but watching Clowney, he does not impress me as a pass rusher.
No, but he's got flashes. That's what concerns you.
He does flash, but it's not like he's a consistent.
No, he's not consistent, but he has flashes that make you go.
And it's all off power, and that's what worries me about him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, I mean, couple of years, Clowney's been in and out of the lineup, too.
We haven't seen
him until this year.
He's a good player. He's very good against the run. He's an overall very good player.
Yeah, solid player.
Really, but he's just not the pass. I mean, Whitney Merciless is a much better pass rusher. He's more of a threat.
Yeah.
And that, like in a perfect world, I'd rather have Clowney over on Parnell and Whitney Merciless over on Beecham.
Yeah, because Merciless is a move guy.
And right. Beecham can handle that. I mean, he's done very well with that, those type of rushers. That where he is going to struggle and has struggled
with
is
power.
With the power. And is there a better guy in the league right now than Everson Griffin as being a, as far as having the power that he has as a rusher? Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of that after the game because watching the game, I was like, I don't know if there's anybody that rushes like that.
You know who he reminds me of rushing is when I was watching the tape. The guy who came to mind immediately was Michael McCrary. Just that consistent downhill.
What about John Randall?
No, Randall had more shake and spin and a lot of stuff. I just remember. I mean, they're different body types, and McCrary probably had a better bulk, more leverage bull, but the style that Griffin played with was that everything's downhill, everything's off power.
And every play is
100%. And every play is 100%.
Yeah.
And when I was watching, I was like, it reminds me a little bit of the style that Michael McCrary played football with. And I was worried about it. I was worried about the matchup. We talked about it beforehand, and it became an issue in the game. And Griffin's a very good player, and now you have another big, powerful man. And Clowney is bigger and stronger than Griffin. He does not have the same.
I don't know if he's bigger, though.
I think he – maybe not.
He's longer.
Longer. He's longer.
He's longer.
But he doesn't have the same effective – the interesting is I think Clowney probably pound for pound is more powerful. He's longer. But he doesn't have the same power, effective bull rushes as Griffin.
Here's not as compact of a package.
Well, here's the difference.
He doesn't have the leverage. Yeah.
If Griffin gets slowed down initially, he's going to be able to pick it back up.
And he has great hand use. He'll grab wrists. He'll lift. He'll do. And Clowney's just run right, try to run you over.
Yeah. And if he's either gonna get it
or he's not.
Or he's not. There's no middle ground where
or
I got
recovery.
A little push. Yeah. You know what I mean?
How about compare and contrast? This is gonna sound crazy. Ngakoue and Fowler to the Texans two guys.
Not Can't, close.
So much contrast. Much of a dip.
Well,
Whitney
Merciless is better than any pass rusher we have on our team.
Okay.
And
but
so,
styles, I meant.
No.
Style. Yeah.
I mean, Merciless would be closer to – or Ngakoue, I would say, is closer to what Merciless does, movement, hand use, and everything else. But Merciless is a guy who's been doing it for 5 years. He's figured it out. Not that Ngakoue can't become that with training and experience and everything else.
I can tell you one thing. Merciless didn't look as good as Ngakoue in his
rookie year. Not at all. But
wasn't even close.
I think your question is right now. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right now, no, there's no comparison. But could Ngakoue become that? Sure. Fowler, I'm not sure what kind of pass rusher he's going to be.
I don't think he knows yet what he wants to be.
When you watch him, I'm not sure.
He hasn't figured it out yet, but here's the thing.
He's early. I'm not burying him. I don't know what
he's surmised. He hasn't started to learn technique moves. But one thing he does have.
Plays hard.
Plays 100 miles
and
an
fast.
Hour, and he's got great speed, and he has the ability to bend. The problem is that he's got to find a move to get him to that point where he can bend consistently. But when he comes around the corner, when he commits to the edge, to the corner, in speed, and just dip rips, he can do it now.
He needs to get a move, and he needs to work on getting off the ball. He does not have a very good get off.
Every great
pass rusher has a good off.
If he would just – like what Tony's talking about, get off every time, threaten the corner, plant your foot the next time, as you're heading towards the corner.
Just go inside.
And then, power into the guy.
Okay.
Because he's so fast, people are bailing on him. You know, and if he has a counter, which the counter doesn't mean you have to swim to the inside as a pass rusher. A counter means it's just something different than your
change
mainstay.
Change of pace.
You know, and that change of pace can be the power. And he's got power. I mean, he's incredibly strong, but when he goes to power, a lot of times he quits on it. He goes to power initially, his placement isn't good, his entry point is high,
leverage isn't good,
there's no leverage at that point. But if he would learn how to do that, look, sometimes that takes time, because you know what, when you watched Merciless when he was a first year player, first time playing,
not great.
No, he wasn't as good as Dante Fowler. He didn't play with the same effort as Dante Fowler. He wasn't making the kind of impact on the running game plays. Mm-hmm. He wasn't holding up the point of attack as good as Dante Fowler.
I'm not sure Whitney Merciless still makes the kind of run in the run game impact.
No. No. He's better than what he was.
He's better than what he was. But he is a heck of a pass rusher.
Speaking of Dante Fowler, we'll hear from him on the Public's Tailgate Show this Sunday. He sat down with Mike Dempsey earlier this week. We'll come back, get into the injury report. See how healthy the Jags are heading into Week 15. And then a little later, we'll make the picks in Week 15. And we'll see where Lagerman ended up last week.
I did good.
Not so good.
I did good.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. A special treat tonight. We're streaming on the 1010XL Facebook page. Thank you for watching, and thank you for listening to Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman, Jaguars Thursday. Roll along. Injury report coming up. You know, last time I believe the Jaguars played the Texans. I think Todd Wash had said, "Yeah, we may or may not follow Ramsey around with Hopkins."
Well, they want to give their hand.
Well, today he said it again. He said they move Hopkins around sometimes in the slot, so likely won't follow. You buy him or sell it?
No, he's going to.
Well, I don't know. The only hard part with that, Jeff, is because he's in the slot so much, and their three wide receiver set. Are you going to put? Do you want Jalen? Because that changes. Because all of a sudden, it's hard to do that if you're playing zone, because it changes everybody. If you're playing man, it's easy. And so, if you go all the way back to the London game when they played the Colts, they came up. Their strategy was if they are in man coverage, Jalen would follow T.Y. Hilton around. Mm-hmm. When they were in zone, he'd be outside. Hmm. And so I think it's hard to if you're going to play a lot of zone. Which they, and third down, they play a lot of different coverages and a lot of different zones, some man too. It's hard if that guy's in the slot, because now you're changing so many different responsibilities around between your nickel and your outside guy. Whereas if it's man, just you're chasing guys.
Yeah.
And so I could see a combination of things depending on the coverage.
Yeah, a little bit, but for the most part, when it's man, Jalen's on him.
I do believe that too.
He's going to be on him. He can sit there and sugarcoat it and dance around it all they want. That's just gamesmanship, you know. That's coaches speak.
Yeah, sure.
And what you expect, you know, they're not going to come out and say, "Well, here's our game plan. We're gonna take Jalen and we're gonna follow DeAndre Hopkins on first and second down when we're playing man, and when we go to third down, we're gonna drop into a two deep because we're scared to death of Brock Osweiler, not, and we're gonna play Jalen on the left side." You're not gonna say that. No. You're gonna say, "Well, we'll wait and we'll see. You know, we may not.
You know, if I was a coach, what I'd do? I would say something like what Jeff just said, and not do any of it. come out and say, we're going to match him on these different looks, and if we get 3-by-1, he's going to be inside, and we're going to go to man's concepts, and we're at 2-by-2, we'll put him outside and go more of our cover 2 and cover 3 techniques, and go from there. And and that's what our game plan is.
The best part
just come out and do something completely different.
Yeah, the best part of that matchup was like the first 3 plays of the game. First 4 plays of the game.
They get after it now.
I mean, they went right at each other.
But when it mattered the most.
2 alpha dogs, okay, and there was 1 fire hydrant.
Remember when it mattered the most, that slant?
Yeah, he got
Hopkins won.
Hopkins got it.
And I think it's a great learning opportunity for Jalen.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be better for it.
He missed the jam.
Yeah.
Missed the jam on that.
And you got to understand down a distance what's coming. And listen, if you're going to give it the easiest release, let him release outside and make Brock Osweiler complete a fade.
Trust your speed.
That's right.
Let's get to the injury report. And by the way, so hearing this MASH music.
I love this TV show, by the way.
Guy who played Colonel Potter died today.
Did
Harry
he really?
Morgan was 96 years old.
You know,
he was also in Dragnet, by the way.
Craig Sagan died today, too.
I didn't watch
he
Dragnet.
He did die, yeah. It's not been a good year for celebrity death.
Best character on MASH. Favorite character on MASH.
Oh, Radar.
Radar?
With the glasses. Yeah.
No.
Hawkeye. Hot Lips.
No. What was the guy who was always trying to get out of it, dressed up, acting like he was crazy? Clinger. Clinger was my favorite.
What was his real name?
I don't know.
What was his name? He did a great job.
Clinger was great.
He was great.
Yeah, that was my favorite character.
So, injury report. Paul Posluszny full today. He was limited yesterday with a neck shoulder issue. You know he's going to be fine. Limited players. Kelvin Beachum with a knee injury. Jonathan Cyprian, shoulder. Chris Ivory with a hamstring, still limited. Koyak with a knee injury. Brandon Linder with an ankle injury. And Yannick Ngakoue with an ankle injury. All those guys limited Wednesday and Thursday. Guys that have not practiced this week. Alan Hearns with a hamstring injury. Chris Reed with a toe injury. And Denard Robinson with a high ankle sprain. So there you have it, the injury.
So Ivory's full.
No, limited.
Or did you say him limited?
I said limited. And the group of guys that have been limited both Wednesday and Thursday.
Gotcha.
In fact, we can run the tape back if you want.
Yeah, we can go back. Oh, okay. There it is right there. I can watch it there.
Yeah, you can watch it on the 1010XL Facebook page. Stream.
Hey, by the way, Jamie Farr was clear.
There you go.
The actor.
Learn something new every day. So, banged up. It's that time of year. It's week 15.
Everybody is.
Everybody's got a list almost this long.
Everybody is. I mean, all the guys that didn't practice, they're not going to play this week.
So who, if know. Chris Reed's out with the toe, Jeff, where are they going to go?
Well, they had mentioned Jeremiah Patassi.
Yeah, the backup right tackle.
And Gus also said in a press conference this week that Bowenko could be a possibility.
Yeah, Bowenko could be in the mix. I don't know.
Well, that's your really only two options. If Linder's not playing, Shatley's going to play center.
Yep. That's the key.
And then Patassi or Bowenko is going at left guard.
I think Linder's going to play.
Think so.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I just – tough guy, you know. You want to change, you know, the way things are going in the last three games. I just got a feeling that, look, he's gonna be there. You know, because remember when he got hurt, the Denver Broncos game, got hurt, leaves the game, comes back, finishes the game. You know, which, you know, give him credit. I mean, tough guy, finished the game out. So I would not be surprised if this week he's back in the lineup and he's just going to grit it and tough it out. You know, I think if you're in his position and if you're a doctor, you know, and you're talking to Linder and you're looking at an injury, the biggest question that you want answered, is there a chance that you could injure this worse to where it could be, you know, cause more problems in the future? If the answer to all that is no, then as a player, you go.
So let me ask you, if you are managing this organization, mm-hmm. Jeff the GM, you're 2-11, not making the playoffs, stating the obvious.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that last week.
Are you going to err on the side of caution with a guy like Linder who is a building block? So why would you play him then unless he's
yes,
close to
100%? I would err on the side of caution, but if the docs are telling me that there is no risk of
– No additional – there's always risk, but no additional risk.
Additional risk to hurting that area more so than – and the player, you know, if his attitude is gung-ho, let's rock.
Yeah. You're going to love this. I just screwed up the whole Harry Morgan obituary. He died in 2011. It popped up in my feed today for some reason. So, my apologies.
That's okay, JP.
It was December 7th, 2011.
Social media.
So, he's been dead for a few years.
Social media.
And it wasn't today.
It wasn't even today.
It wasn't even today.
I literally saw it pop up. Oh, that's sad. I didn't. That's the first time I'd seen it.
He died 5 years ago.
5 years ago. So, he's still dead.
I hope his family's not listening. They're probably going, he's alive! He's back! What happened? Where's he been?
He disappeared.
Five years.
We've been looking for him. So, my apologies.
Heck of a job.
At
JP.
Least he's,
heck
I mean,
of a job. You're proud.
I hate to say, at least, you know, at least he's.
JP,
still
just,
dead.
I'm just glad that you didn't say somebody was dead and they weren't, like for real.
Right. That would be bad. That's okay. What I'm trying to say. I mean, it could have been worse.
Yeah, you should just say nothing and go to break.
I think I will right now. But I wanted to correct it for the record.
For the record.
Game day is so much more enjoyable. You don't have to worry about finding a parking space, right? The
if
JGA
you're not
Game
dead.
Day Express and parking one of their 5 convenient lots. Tickets start at $7. I'm going to dominate picks again when we come back. It's Jaguars.
Stay tuned. We may get an update
here
from 5 years ago.
It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Jeff Lagerman. See what other old obituaries we can pull up in the last 10 minutes of the show tonight, 5 years ago.
That was good, JP.
Yeah, you know,
that
I had to get it in. So the Jaguars and the Texans coming up Sunday down in Houston, 1 o'clock kickoff, part of Week 15 in the National Football League, and we make picks each and every week. First off, we look at the results from last week.
Yeah, I killed it.
And on the Facebook page on 1010XL, you'll see them as we discuss them.
Come on, Max. Put them up.
Last week, I was 10-5. Vaselli was 10-5. Logs, 8-7.
Yeah, I killed it.
For the season, Vaselli, 601 win percentage. I am gaining. 579.
You still have started picking in week four, though.
Yeah, we had the exact same record. But I gained because – oh, no, you're right.
No, you didn't gain.
I don't know the math. Lagerman, 543. That. He's in last place. But then man. Again, you didn't pick until week four?
I know that last week I did pick a few off-the-wall teams, and it worked out for me.
I picked the Browns. That did not work out.
No. We both picked the Titans.
We did.
We did that.
Hmm.
We called it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Didn't help you out in the final result.
No,
JP just goes chalk. I mean, he just goes.
Do I?
Yeah, every time. It's weak.
That's not what happens. I usually make picks ahead of you, like both of you guys.
No, you go chalk.
Whatever, man. Let's start with
Rams.
Well,
you got to win somewhere, JP, because your fantasy picks are terrible.
They are, but they're better than this dude.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, come on. Tony's picking the
Jaguars. I picked all Jaguars for the last 6 weeks.
And he got four last week.
I got four, and he still lost.
You're staying faithful.
I'm asking for five this week.
You know what? We'll probably
give it to you. We can have all five you
want. You might be JP.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Whatever, Logs. Let's start with the Rams at the Seahawks tonight.
Seahawks.
Yeah.
Okay. Dolphins at the Jets. Saturday football starts. This week.
Dolphins. Jets are a mess.
Yeah, but you know, Matt Moore starting a quarterback for the Dolphins?
Bryce Petty's starting.
I'm going Jets.
Yeah. It's in Miami, right?
No, it's in New York.
In New York?
It's probably going to be cold.
You know what?
Dolphins are playing for the playoffs.
Yes.
The Jets are playing for nothing.
Yes.
And they really have. No, I'm going to take the Dolphins.
Okay. I'm sticking with the Jets. Sunday games beginning with the Eagles at the Ravens. Ravens for me.
Ravens.
It's not that hard, Jeff.
They're out of the playoffs if they don't win this.
You know what, though? Tough loss. New England, emotional game. I'm taking the Eagles.
Mm.
How about it, Joe?
Thank you.
How about it?
I'll be in Philly next Thursday night.
Oh, you're back on that for Thursday night football?
Thursday night football.
Who's playing?
Philly.
The Eagles are playing.
Giants.
Okay, that's a good matchup.
Browns at the Bills. Who wants to pick them this week?
Well, I believe Marcel Darius is guaranteed a victory, right?
I'm going with Bills.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bills.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's a strong statement.
This could be the coldest game time temperature in Soldier Field history. They're expecting below zero air temperatures. Packers at the Bears.
Packers. It's not the frozen field of Lambeau, but it's close enough.
It's going to be minus one before the wind chill. And we all know that's
a lot of wind.
Chicago can blow a little bit.
Buddy, they got a wind chill there now.
A stiff breeze.
Okay, Steelers at Bengals.
Steelers.
I'm with you there, Tone.
I need to get one.
You do.
I'm taking the Bengals.
Yeah,
okay, at
not,
home.
Not the place to get one, but you need
no.
to get one.
I just need to throw something out there.
At Arrowhead, the Chiefs host the Titans.
Titans.
Wow, I'm going Chiefs. Yeah, Colts at Vikings.
I'm taking the Vikings.
Me too.
After watching what the Colts did against the Texans, I'm taking the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Colts.
Okay. Wow, that's bold. Lions at Giants. Pair of 9-4 teams.
Ooh, I'm taking the Giants
at home. Yes, I'm going Lions. MVP Stafford.
What you going to do? You going to go different? We got
Lions.
The Lions. You're going with the Pack.
Mm-hmm. Good call.
You took the Giants,
I thought. No, I took Lions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, you took the Giants.
No, Lions.
You said Giants.
You said Giants, bro.
No, lead the Giants.
Come on. What are you trying to trick us?
I'm taking the Giants.
Well, I might change my pick now.
I'm taking the Giants.
Well, you're in last place.
I'm taking the Giants.
The Giants.
Write it down. Giants.
Not Lions.
The Lions aren't that good. And Matt Stafford's got a bad finger.
I'm confused now. So he said Giants, meant Lions,
then
and
he's back
to
Giants. Yeah, he's back Giants.
Just so we're all aware. Saints at the Cardinals. Ugh. Saints for me.
Saints.
Yeah, I like the Saints. The Cardinals are no good.
49ers at the Falcons. Boy, the Niners
Atlanta.
Blew it last week.
Atlanta.
Yeah, me too.
Don't steal one there.
Just pick one.
Falcons.
There's
no stealing. There's no getting one there, I can tell you that.
Patriots at the Broncos.
Patriots.
Yeah, me too. Come on, Tony. Pass rush.
Patriots. This Broncos offensive line is so bad.
All right, Patriots it is. The Raiders at the Chargers.
Raiders.
Chargers.
Sunday night, Bucks at the Cowboys. Cowboys reeling from their second loss.
Cowboys.
I'll go Bucks.
Dang it. I am too. I wanted you to go Cowboys.
It's okay. Monday night football, the Panthers at the Redskins. Pick your guy, Tony.
I'm picking my guy, Washington.
I'm taking Cam.
Okay. I'm a
bad shoulder and all.
I'm going with Tony on this one. Redskins.
You're a chicken.
Oh, shut up.
I forgot. You go chalk.
No, I got a question.
You always go chalk.
Did you pick one team that was different than Tony?
No, I picked some different ones than him, though.
Yeah, I picked the Vikings. He picked the Colts.
No.
If I went first.
Did he ever pick anything different after you went first?
No.
That's what I thought.
He's scared.
Yeah.
What? Who's keeping score of that?
And when we get
what the hell does that matter?
I was right here.
We do this show during the playoffs, too, right? Thursday night? Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't ever stop. I guess we never stop this show.
It's
playoffs go double points.
Yeah. Double. That's a lot of math for me on Thursday.
I'll help you.
That's okay, JP. It's, you know. We'll help you.
So instead of one, it's 2 points.
There's something called a calculator.
Thank you.
I mean, is that hard, Joe? I mean, one.
So the picks are in. And just, you know what? I'm going to go.
Alabama math.
Let's ask Harry Morgan.
Yeah. Great. He's still dead, right? You know what? Just for that, I'm going with the Panthers.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And I'm going to win.
All right, good. They might.
So the Jaguars and the Texans, 8 straight losses.
Thanks, JP.
Does it become 9 or do they snap it?
I don't know. This is not an easy game.
It's a tough one, right? I ask you every week. This is the response I get every week.
I don't know. Way to be definitive either way.
I can tell you, they got a chance.
Thanks.
You're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, I'm saying there's a chance. And it's a lot better chance than what was the line one of the main? So you're saying there's a chance.
Yes. There's a chance, yeah.
No, look, they can beat this football team. Look,
they should have beat them last time.
The Texans don't score enough points, and they're not good enough on offense.
I'm going to say they're going to win.
You know?
Lock?
I told you there's no more locks this season.
You told me that
after
last
the
week,
double
too.
Lock. I told you that
I'm
going to
ask you every time when
I'm
you
not
going to
lock
them.
It, but I think they'll win. Because there's nothing that – I mean, everyone listening is like, well, what reason, what have we seen that says they're going to win? Well, I mean, it's hard to – when you've lost 8 in a row, it's hard to go back on anything and say it. I mean, like I said last week, we didn't have a good feeling last week. We, you know, were hoping we'd win, obviously. But I think they get this win. I mean, I'm more worried about the game against Tennessee than these guys. Because offensively, the Houston just does nothing that scares you. And so in that type of game – it might come down to the last possession in the football game. I mean, if you win that possession, you win the ball game. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me at all if it's that type of football game.
Texans are 10-4 at NRG Stadium against the Jaguars.
Yeah, it's not really helping my cause.
It's not good.
I don't know what the record is on Battle Red.
It's not good.
It's yeah.
Day.
Is it going to be Battle Red for sure?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's Battle Red Day.
I hate Battle Red Day.
It is Battle Red Day in Houston.
You know the good news about this trip to Houston?
What is that?
Some good steakhouse.
Oh. Well, and yeah, you got Fogo. But you know what? I think me and Perk, Jaguars video guy Mike Perkins, Clint Ingram. Remember Clint Ingram?
Yeah.
He's got a restaurant in Houston.
Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't he here for the alumni weekend.
Okay. But we're going to go check it out and go see Clint.
Very good.
If you, for those that don't remember, he was hard hitting, good football
player. Very short tenure here.
Yes, I don't remember why.
Got a couple concussions.
Wasn't
it? Never came back.
And he would, man, he hit. Hmm. And a great guy.
Was a Colt first? Was the Colt before him, right?
No. He was draft pick.
That's right.
Jaguars draft pick.
No, it wasn't. I'm thinking of somebody else.
You're thinking of who they signed from the Colts.
I don't know why Clint Ingram.
JP, refer to your social media calendar.
I'll get right on there. It's right next to the Harry Morgan news.
I don't remember.
Gotta go. Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagman, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato, JP Shadrick. Goodbye. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
See ya.